back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We are back, ready to help suplex this work week into submission.
It's what we need.
It's what we need. Mondays are always terrible. We're here to try to help you guys get back on track, get it rolling, get it off on the right foot. You know the drill. Today I'm bringing you interesting case that I'd looked into, heard about, listened to on some podcasts a few years back, but it's kind of continued going on. It's weird. But before we get into that, we got to get through the business. So check us out at all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you will find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. You know the drill. It's a great place to be. It's full of fun and weirdness, just good times. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share with the show that we can feature on our Thursday episodes of the Listener Experience Hollow Sky Podcast, Kyle has some information that you're definitely going to want.
I do. It's pretty simple. All you have to do is write your story out, send it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can call or text the holophone, 618-556-0837. Also, I'm going to put this out into the ether. Despite what some of you are hearing out there somehow, we do interviews. That's an obvious because we've done them before. So if you'd like an interview, reach out. We'll get back to you when we get back to you. Don't get all butthurt when we don't email instantly back. We do have a lot going on. But we hope to maybe start doing those a little more frequently to help kind of give me and Steve a break from having to write so much. It takes a lot of time. Life is getting a little bit chaotic. Our schedules are changing at work and stuff like that, and sports and everything else just kind of compiling on. So we're going to possibly try to go down this avenue. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, everything is circumstantial, and we'll just try to play it by ear. That's what we do best anyways.
Yeah, trial and error.
Yeah, for sure.
If you'd like to support the show, yeah, that's where we're at. If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. Join the Patreon, get some extra goodies over there. I usually do some supportive posts that coincide with the shows over there that the other socials don't get. Like on the episode today, there is a log of a police phone call that's transcripted. That's what I meant, a transcript of a police interaction. And I'm going to post the transcript over there, and that'll be specifically for our Patreon members. So there's all kinds of little knickknacks over there that you can get. You can go to our store. We have gotten a hollowskypodcast.com. That's where the store is. You can go over there, check that out, see if there's any kind of hollow swag over there you like. That being said, there probably is going to be a coupon popping up for our Patreon members here shortly.
Yeah, I would imagine pretty quick. I just got to remember to do it. That's all my bad. So Patreon members are going to get a temporary for a month or two. We'll get you some discounts on some merch.
And another way you can support the show is to support our sponsors. If you hear them on here, if you hear something you like, definitely go check them out. You know, if you buy something, leave a little note, says Hollow Sky sent you or something. It helps us. It helps them. It helps the world go round. You know the drill. You can also leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever your podcatcher is. That helps us in the ether of all the other paranormal podcasts. And it is great getting to read them and check them out. And we love you guys for it. Today, we are getting into it. So I have started some research into this. I guess it's a geographical location, you could say, called the Sai Kung Barrier. You know, we got the missing 411 phenomenon, which I hear is predominantly, like, from what you hear is, like, American and
yeah,
Canadian, possibly, at the parks.
which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but...
When you hear this, it almost feels like the research has only been focused in America.
That's I would assume that's probably 100% of why we don't hear it elsewhere.
Because this kind of correlates with some weirdness. It is also kind of... It's kind of like I said, its own geographical location. Like, it's like a Bennington Triangle, but it's not here in America. It takes place on the other side of the world, on the outskirts of Hong Kong, in a place called Sai Kung Peninsula. More specifically, a park, the Sai Kung East Country Park. The park is a beautiful public landscape with hiking trails all over it. There's lush vegetation and views, and it's a real mainstay of the Sai Kung Peninsula. People use it all the time. It's just a great outing because you think of Hong Kong and you think of like the city.
Oh, yeah.
The big, massive city.
Definitely.
But there are a lot of these little parks on the outskirts that get used quite a bit. The main trail stretches for over 100 kilometers, which it cuts through the park. It's called the McLoays Trail. In 1970s, the Hong Kong government, spearheaded by Sir Murray McLoays, moved to protect Hong Kong's kind of lush countryside and open it up for recreation, so the city developments didn't move out too far. The first step toward it was the creation of the country parks, was the approval of a $33 million five-year plan for recreational development. Obviously, this is where the trail got its name. All the trails, it needs to be noted, including this one, are well marked with geographical markers in case people get disoriented or lost. Most of the other trails kind of splinter off from the McLoays Trail. It's almost like a spine that moves through the center of the park.
Gotcha.
But they're all so very well marked. What makes these markers interesting is that they each have specific coordinates where each sign is located. I read that they're about 500 meters apart on every one of the trails. That way, if anybody gets lost, it's almost a failsafe that you can be found. In Hong Kong, they use a grid system called the HK1980 grid coordinate. It's almost like a manual GPS, right? So everything is gridded out. That way, if say you need to go to this bookstore in such a grid, you don't even have to know the street names around it because you can go to the grid and find the bookstore.
Right.
From what I can tell, it is a pretty decent system. Like I said, I'm not in Hong Kong, but I didn't see a whole lot of negative comments about it. Everybody that uses it likes it. So everybody's familiar with it. I looked up why they use the system, and according to the International Federation of Surveyors, Hong Kong grid system was described as the position of land boundaries, map features, civil engineering works. It's the reference system used to support social and economic activities in Hong Kong. It also should be made noted that in modern times, the Hong Kong government made extra measures to ensure that people have cell phone service by placing incremental towers along the parks and trails. So they're really, for some reason, they're really focused on people not going missing in the parks.
Yeah, and it almost like, because we dabble in the paranormal and stuff, is really the only reason why I'm thinking this way. But it also almost makes you feel like there might be a tidbit of research involved here.
Yeah, like they know. Keep that in mind when we circle around back to the end, because it just connected in my brain like, oh shit, why would they do all this extra stuff?
Yeah. Definitely just makes me feel like some research orientation going on.
It just connected, so keep that in mind. The weirdness starts at 12:45 in the afternoon on September 11, 2005. The Hong Kong police force received an emergency call for help. The caller claimed that he was lost while climbing on the McLoays Trail in the Sai Kung Country Park. While the caller never actually stated his name, the caller ID pulled up to a local off-duty police officer from Central Police Station named Ding Luo. He was out and he decided to take a hike in the park. Luo was a substantially high-ranking officer in the anti-triad unit. I thought, man, that sounds interesting. I looked up what the Triad Unit was, and apparently it's a Chinese-based criminal organization, secret association, or club. So I heard that. I'm like, man, anti-triad unit sounds like he's a big deal.
Yeah.
Lua was hiking and apparently had got disoriented. He pulled out his cell phone, which luckily had service, and dialed 999, equivalent to 911 here in the States. He reported to the dispatcher that he was lost. Per protocol, the conversation between Lua and the dispatcher was recorded. I found the translation of the transcripts, and they are bizarre to say the least, but you can contribute a lot of that to the translation program used. You know, it gets confused quite often, and words get kind of jumbled. But the crux of the matter is that Lua gave the dispatchers the coordinates for the nearest marker. During the call, the caller stated that he was climbing a mountain in Saigon, which is weird because he's not necessarily in Saigon. He's in Saikung. Then he said a series of numbers, 5870. The operator asked what was going on, and the caller said that he was lost. When the operator asked where he was, the caller said that it said a second series of numbers, 487020. At first, the operator suspected that the 487 number was the gauge link column of the scenic spot, which are on these particular placards. And they have a bunch of numbers on them, which each represent like the how high they are above sea level and all of this different information. That
a bunch of smart shit.
Yeah. Be made to make it easy to find somebody.
Right. Or to research all the environment and all that aspect.
Yeah. The missing man did not give a clear answer. And oddly enough, his signal for his cell phone kept breaking up, which is exactly why they put all the extra towers out there.
Right. For it to it's not supposed to happen.
The operator asked again, "Are you taking the McLouise Trail?" The man said, "Yes. I'm walking east of Saikung. I started from the Pak Tam Chung Trail in Saikung, and I walked a little over 2 hours, and I'm now lost. My position is past 5870. What is 5870? The operator asked again. What is 5870? They said, "Didn't you just say 487020? The man answered with the wrong question. The operator asked again, "Why did you say 487020? The man said, "That's not my position. That's the password. It must be a password." This obviously confused the hell out of the operator. But judging by Ding's voice, he knew that the man was in trouble. So the dispatcher immediately sent search teams out, police officers, whatever, sent them the numbers on that they were given, right? The 587 and right. The 487.
Right.
The police officers go out to check these specific placards, and these numbers don't exist on the trail or anywhere in the grid system. So they can't find where he's at. They break everything down. They start at the Pak Tam Chung trailhead, and they go 2 hours in each direction. Can't find anything. Can't find anything at all. September 12, 2005, the Hong Kong Police Station, together with Fire Services Department, Civil Security Forces, Fishery and Conservation Department, and Government Flight Agency, sent more than 200 police officers and multiple helicopters to conduct a large-scale search in Saikung County Park. After a few days, Ding Lahua was nowhere to be seen. Ding was 45 years old when he disappeared. They said he was kind, he was in good health, he was very well with his colleagues, had good relationships, no financial problems, and no real bad habits. So no reason for him to take his own life, for him to disappear. According to his mother, she said his son liked hiking, and he had recorded over a dozen trekking trips all over the country, and specifically in the Saikung County Park. To this day, he still remains missing. So, what exactly was Ding seeing on the trail marker? Like, why did he give the dispatcher coordinates that don't exist? Not only do they not exist in that park, they don't exist anywhere.
But he also stated that those weren't intended to be coordinates. He said this is a password.
The second one.
Right.
Yeah. The first one he answered to as coordinates, 5870, which is interesting because the second number is almost the same, 4870.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't know if maybe he had hit his head, if he was disoriented, if he had, gotten hypothermia. I guess it's September. I don't know what the weather's like in Hong Kong in September. Dehydration.
Because it would all, I don't know. Because he's an investigator of the triad, right?
Yeah.
So that's a government, that's a criminal organization who are gnarly.
Yep.
They don't fuck around. So a plausibility would be that there was a hit out on him and he's fucked. It also makes me wonder, was he undercover triad or was he like, No, I definitely investigate triad. Like, that's my job.
I think he was part of the anti-triad unit, so I'm assuming he was
like kind of blatant.
Yeah.
Right. Because it almost sounded like for a second there, maybe if he was undercover, he was trying to like, he thought he was calling like his people and being like, here's my password to access said or to prove who I am or access said information.
Yeah.
However, that's not the case. I don't know. And is that how they would grid it? Like, would that be a real response of the 4-digit number?
Yeah.
Or is the grid system more numbers, less numbers?
Here's an actual picture. It's like M008. There's all kinds of information on there. So it's distance post M008, and there's other numbers down here.
Right.
So it could very well have been the 5870 could have been.
Right, an actual one. Because it would be interesting to know how they're structured. If it is, like, would they all be alphabet letter and then 3 digits? Or is it chaos? Is it like this one says 48931, this one says AB160?
Yeah, and I just paraphrased the transcript because it is... It's interesting. Like I said, I got the whole thing pulled up and I'll post it to the Patreon. But they kept asking Ding if he was hurt. And every time that he would be asked that, he would just respond with the word great, great. Because the operator kept asking, why did you stop here? Did you twist your ankle? Great. Are you hurt? Great. Finally, at the end, which is where it gets kind of uncanny, the operator asks, do you want me to call an ambulance? And Ding goes, yes, yes. And then there's silence. And the operator's like, hey, are you still there? And the last thing that he heard was Ding yell help 3 times before the phone went dead.
Creepy. And it's also weird that being that it's in the area that it's in, that's a high-tech civilization. So the fact that they had radio towers everywhere, they couldn't somehow triangulate his system by using like pinging off of towers or anything of that nature. Like that wasn't an option. He sounds delusional. Like he sounds confused and delusional in seeing things that aren't there.
Yeah. And you have to assume, since he's a member of the police force, that he should know how to communicate this information to his dispatcher.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Straight, just trying to clear up the little password things, straight from the transcript here, it says, where is the 487020 that you said was engraved, is what the operator asked. Ding says, that's not on the pillar. It's a password. The operator says, what password? And Ding says, maybe I read the wrong password.
So right there, he's clearly acknowledging the grid system, right?
Yeah,
by saying, no, that's not on the pillar.
Yeah.
So he's coherent enough to actually make good on the statement. Like he's, you know, he's like, no, you're getting it fucked up. Like, I'm not talking about the pillar right now. I'm not talking about the grid system. I'm talking about the password.
Yes. Which the dispatcher has no idea.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And the grid number that he gave, again, doesn't exist. It's almost as if he may have stepped into somewhere else.
Which we've had cases of that before that we've talked about. People who have been on the same trailhead together, and then all of a sudden one of them disappears, even though it's like they're there, but they're not there.
Yep. Yep.
Because I remember the one you did where the dude or the wife was lost, and the family was walking up and down the trail looking for him, and they were on the trail, mm-hmm. but they weren't on the trail.
It's very reminiscent of some of these cases. October 2nd, we're going to move on to the next one. October 2nd, 2005, less than a month after Ding went missing, a 23-year-old Boy Scout leader, like an assistant Boy Scout leader named Yuan Xiong, and I apologize if I mispronounce these names. I am in no way.
Sounds legit.
No way knowledgeable in speaking any foreign language, especially from Hong Kong. So bear with me. I mean, no disrespect. He was leading. So on his spare time, he was a guide throughout the trails. He would take people up. They'd pay him money. This particular day, he was leading three female team members, essentially, on this not really a taxing hike. It was going to be about 3 hours. It was a pre-planned route. Yuan was a experienced climber, which is why he was a tour guide. And they went about their business. For all reasons, since Yuan had hiked the trail so many times, climbed mountains, it should have been just another walk through the park, for literally. Lack of a better term. Yeah.
Literally.
It should be noticed that Yuan did have a cold that day. He was a little off, but not enough to keep him out of the park, you know. Just kind of felt under the weather.
Yeah.
When the group approached a specific scenic spot called Tiger Kishi, Yuan told the three female members to go ahead and go, just keep walking down the trail, he'll catch up. He had to stop and take some cold medicine out of his backpack. He would follow suit. As a result, the three girls moved forward. But after a period of time, as they kind of rounded the bend, they waited. Well, Yuan never came back. So they turned around to go and look for him. They didn't find him. They immediately called the police. And after 2 days searching, they started. They couldn't find him. Had all kinds of search teams, had dogs out, all kinds of things. They find Yuan's body, near this lookout point, hidden in, like, it's kind of tucked off under some bushes. Earlier, a mountaineering instructor pointed out that there were two dense, really dense, foresty places near this Tiger Kishi. And it was odd that his body was found in one of the woods. They almost think that maybe Yuan was going to take a shortcut to try to meet up with his three women, but unfortunately he succumbed to whatever injuries he had.
I don't know that I buy that.
No, it is weird. So they're thinking, like, man, he was sick. He took his cold medicine. Maybe he fell into a coma. The weird thing is, what? Right?
The fuck, you gonna fall into a coma from drinking NyQuil?
Dude, I don't know.
Get the fuck out of here.
This.
Not to mention, come on, like, this isn't a fucking horror movie. I'm sorry, this is no fucking horror movie. It doesn't take you 3 days to take your cold medicine. I don't give a fuck what kind of cold medicine you have. Right. So there's no way, even let's say you got to get in your backpack, take out some NyQuil, pour it into the cup, drink it, put the cap back on, put the little cup over top of the cap, stick it back in your backpack. That takes what? 10 minutes tops.
Yep.
10, 15. Okay. We'll do 15 minutes. in the fact, and then on top of that, he's an experienced hiker, so he's in better shape than any of these chicks. He knows the trails like the back of his hand. So why would you go into the fucking woods to, you know, shortcut his way back to them? Why don't you just stay on the path like a normal person would do? No idiot is going to go walking out into the woods
off the path.
Right. And is this an area where there are natural predators in this park? That could be gnarly, like tigers and shit.
I do not know. Considering the lookout point was called Tiger.
That's exactly what made me think about it. I'm like, is there tigers in this park? But then again, you would think that would be stupid to be walking around out there with fucking tigers.
Yeah. Again.
Regardless, I'm sure that if a tiger had attacked, it would be in the autopsy and all that crap. So,
which you'll come to find out later on once, like, because there, I left a lot of missing or presumed dead people out of this because of just restraint, time restraints, essentially.
Right.
But like you said, him being in better shape, knowing the trails, the three women essentially expected him to rush right up to him.
Yeah, it would make sense that he'd be able to catch up super fast. Even him feeling under the weather, he's still going to be most likely a faster pace than these three completely inexperienced women. Or not, because it'd be like you and me walking down the path. I'm not in no fucking hurry.
Yeah.
I could give two fucks about getting anywhere fast. Not to mention, I don't know that I would even, I mean, sure, you know what? I take that back. If he's like, Kyle, Steve, just keep on walking. I'm going to take my medicine real quick. Which is, in itself, is just fucking weird, though, if you think about it. To be like, why wouldn't you just be like, hey, can we just take a break for a quick minute? I need to take some cold medicine real fast. Get some juices in me, and then we get, like, that's just kind of weird to be like, nah, you guys just keep on going.
Unless he didn't want to, like, hamper him. Maybe he knew that scenic lookout point was up there. Maybe something they were excited about.
That's true. That makes sense.
You go up there, hang out here, and all
that makes sense. That makes sense.
So he was missing for 3 days, right? They had the search team out there, the dogs. Weird thing is Yuan's body was found less than a dozen meters away from where the police search and rescue route started the first day that they were searching.
So they should have been able to find him really fast.
Yes, because they had rescue dogs there.
So, and then on top of that, did it register that he had been dead for 3 days?
Oh, I don't know. But that is a question that comes up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit, because you'll see kind of a pattern here. Almost as if it's like missing 411, where something essentially reaches in, takes the person out. The search teams come through. They drop them back on the trail. Back.
Right, exactly.
It's very strange. Again, let me see how much longer this is. A little bit of a hiatus. Then on Sunday, January 12th, 2009, the driver of a Kowloon bus, his name's Huang Shuklong, went to Saikung to climb the mountain alone. Fortunately, he disappeared. Later, his family kept calling his mobile phone. A mainland fisherman answered the call, saying that he had picked up Huang's backpack in the waters near Saigon. But when asked about the specific location, the other party kind of hesitated and was back to kind of sus about it. So essentially back then, cell phones weren't the greatest in 2009. The fisherman had picked up the backpack, found the phone, took the SIM card out and put it in his phone so he could use it to see who owned the phone.
Okay.
And by locating the mobile phone communication base system, i.e. pinging, like you were talking about what they should have done in 2005, police determined that the location before shutting down was Big Wave Bay. However, after many days of searching, nothing else of the man was ever found. Went climbing, completely disappeared. His backpack found. I don't know exactly how far away from the trail he was climbing to wherever this backpack was found was.
Well, there better have been a damn connecting river.
That's what I'm saying. How did he get down there?
Without that, then it's completely unexplainable.
Or a stream or something. But it made you wonder, like, was the phone in a state, like, was it so waterlogged they couldn't turn it on? Was the battery dead?
I could see that. But it's also weird that dude was being sus as shit, too.
Yeah. Yeah. They said, I heard one when the family was asking, the phone cut out. I also heard that the man hung up on the on the family. All sorts of different shit.
I mean, the only way I see it being, I don't know how to really word it, like ways of thinking about it could be, did the guy start putting together that maybe said phone belonged to a now dead person that people are looking for and he wants to not be affiliated with this whatsoever?
Yeah.
As far, you know, because then his mind, he could be like, well, what if they think and accuse me of killing this guy? I ain't trying to have that shit happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Or he, well, no, because if you did do it, you wouldn't fucking, well, you wouldn't think you'd be dumb enough to put it in, but I'm sure people are to put the SIM card in your phone and be like, well, I got a free phone out of this.
That's true. He could have been being shady and be like, oh, hey.
Yeah. And then they started calling and he's like, ruh-roh.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I didn't think about that, but 100% that would happen here, essentially.
Oh yeah, you know somebody would be dumb enough to do that.
Yeah. Another one, a little further down the line, 2016. This, we have an actual survivor of whatever this phenomena is.
This ought to be good.
So this is what happened to climber Zhang Shengping on June 18th, 2016. He set off from the Pak Tam Chung trailhead, which is also where our police officer friend took off from.
Right, right.
So they're right in the same region. He went alone and was scheduled to go on this hiking trip over these different landmarks, the Big Pillow Cover, Big Mosquito Mountain, and arrive at his ending point a couple hours later. It is reported that Zhang Shengpeng posted a selfie on Facebook around 10 a.m. on the day of the climbing. A few minutes later, another message was added saying that it looked like it was about to rain soon. Since that message, his Facebook would not be updated again for quite some time. His family members saw that he had not returned home from climbing and called police the next day. The police focused their search on the Big Pillow Cover and Big Mosquito Mountain, but found only a blue sun hat, which was suspected to be left by Zhang. Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity? Try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code HOLO. The search range expanded with even helicopters being dispatched. Fortunately, on June 21st, after about 4 days of searching, the team of police officers spotted a tired-faced man carrying a hiking backpack on the Hampton Bay Highway in Sai Kung. They had been looking for Zhang for several days. According to Zhang's memory, he was hiking in the morning, but after he'd seen the weather get bad, he decided to leave the mountain early. As he was heading down the mountain, the weather cleared. So he decided, hey, you know, I didn't get that far down the mountain. I'm going to turn around and go back. When he was walking through the forest back up the trail, he said he lost consciousness, which I find this kind of weird anyway. You know, it's almost like the mountain or whatever the phenomenon on the mountain is was like tempting him back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the weather's shitty. The prey decides to leave and they're like, oh, hold up. Draw
and,
back.
And that is one of the things in 411 that is a common denominator is the weather.
Gets shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's weird. It's weird that it was trying to get shitty and he's like, all right, I'm out. And then as he's, you know, getting out, it's like, shit, no, I need this asshole to come back. So I better start clearing up. So it entices him to come back.
And as soon as he like makes that decision, he passes out. He woke up. It was already 8 p.m. He'd received a call from his family. And now bear with me with the Google Translate here. His family said that he stated why he wasn't home, why he wasn't home already, because it was only supposed to be a one-day outing. He said to them, it's weird when you try to leave. It seems that the distance to the destination cannot be shortened. Like, you can't, like, no matter how far he goes, he can't find his way out.
Yeah, it's like the never-ending hallway.
Yes. He also lost his, he said he had lost his phone and his food and water was running out, which I don't know how he could be on the phone and lost his phone, unless he found it again. At this point, he went down in the valley to rest. On July 3rd, he posted a long Facebook describing his adventures for the last 4 days. He said that on the first day when the sky turned overcast, he set out to go down the mountain. When the sky cleared up, he passed through a bush and lost consciousness. After waking up, I quickly tried to prepare a way to leave the mountain, but felt that I couldn't get out in any way. He said, it felt like I kept walking around in a circle, just spinning in place. I lost my phone and ran out of food. I just spent the night in the mountain in a daze. He said when he had went to camp out, he had a lighter and a pack of cigarettes that he sat on the ground next to his tent. When he woke up, they were gone. He was like, well, that's weird, right?
Yeah, it's definitely weird, especially if he was in the same place that he passed out or whatever it was.
Yeah. Keep here. This is going to sound familiar. The next day, while continuing to try to find a way down the mountain, Zhang says, I saw two travelers by a stream. Zhang desperately called to the two people, trying to ask them for help. But the third parties acted like they did not hear it. When Zhang slowly approached the two, they suddenly disappeared without a trace. Too tired and hungry, Zhang fell asleep by the stream.
Isn't that exactly the same story we've talked about before, just different locations?
Yep.
Like the exact same thing happened.
Yep.
And it is. I was going to wait till the end of the show, but I think I'm going to start calling these interdimensional abductions.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
100%.
It's what it feels like.
100%. There's like this weird fucking bleed over effect. It's like they were taken to the neighbors.
Yep.
As like a neighboring dimension is where they were taken.
And sometimes they don't bring you back, or when they do, you're not alive anymore.
Yeah, it's... It's extremely concerning, to say the least.
Yep. On the third day when he woke up, he was in a completely different place. He kept trying to make his way through the woods. He found what he thought was an old cemetery, but there's no cemeteries in Sai Kung Country Park. Soon as he saw this, he knew he was not where he was supposed to be, so he started running away. He saw another person down by a stream playing in the water. But just like the day before, when I went to get closer, the person playing in the water just vanished. By the fourth day, when Zhang had woken up, he was in another strange place. He decided to climb up to the top of the mountain as high as he could to try to see where he was at. Once he finally kind of got a grasp on the trails, he just sprinted down the nearest one that looked like it was toward the end of the mountain, and that's how he ended up on the highway to be picked up by the police officers that were searching.
You know what would be fucking fascinating? And if anywhere would be capable of doing this, it would be in that region of the world because of their monitoring system. But imagine how fascinating it would be if I come to you and I'm like, dude, I don't know what the fuck happened. I went to this place and like, dude, I'm telling you, I could see these people. I saw a man and a woman standing next to the river. She had a sundress on and a white shade hat. He had a brown vest on. Gave T descriptions, right? And then the monitoring system like knows the area this is in and can correlate, like, oh shit, he actually did see the, because these two people were actually here by the river.
Yeah. Like ping their phones and shit.
And yet he's not registering, whether it be on camera or anything, he's not registering in this area, but he's describing everything in this area.
That'd be
like he's here, but he's not here.
That'd be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking crazy. Of course, after Zhang's encounter started getting out on the internet, you had a whole bunch of people saying that it was probably just him having hallucinations from lack of food and lack of water. Other people, he was just trying to hype the aura of this park and the area. People started to...
Why would he do that? Did he have a history of being into that stuff?
Nope. Nobody even said it, but it was so like off the wall. People even started using the term Cy Kung enchantment. Like once you go there, like it just starts messing with your brain and you just can't handle it. The trail took a little bit of a hiatus for a few years until 2019 when it struck up again. In August, a 45-year-old male was going to hike on one of the trails, disappeared, wasn't found again. In October, hold up, was not found. An hour away, the body was found. The death was ruled as suspicious because the man had a head injury, which could be attributed to them falling.
Right.
It could be like your true crime brain almost makes you feel like someone's out here like taking people's lives.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
But you have all these weird paranormal aspects that are kind of put together, you know?
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing in these cases is they don't, for you and me, they don't give a lot of background on said experiencer. So how high of elevation was this? Was this person an experienced hiker? Did this person undergo altitude sickness to a varying degree, that a lack of oxygen? Like there are a lot of things that can logically be applied here. Whereas we don't have that information, of course.
Yeah.
But there is also that paranormal side of it as well. Like the dude who survived, who witnessed and experienced these other people that were there. Even vice versa. I mean, even if he was actually in that area and these people weren't there, well, he's still seeing something.
Yeah, through the veil.
Right, exactly.
And it's weird. You would think like they're on dirt trails. So this man, his name was Wee. So if he fell and hit his head to the point to where it killed him, you would think that there would be evidence of like rocks. There would be blood on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But for the police to label it suspicious, like there has to be some ulterior motives there, right?
You would think so, yeah.
Also in 2019, the police...
And I also figured to further that point, I mean, most of the time they know what they're doing. And like if Steve fell and hit his head and it killed him, well, was like, did he trip on this right here? Did he trip and fall? Yep. Like that should be, or did did Steve have a heart attack and he fell down and, exactly. and bonked his head?
You'd think all that would come up in the autopsy.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yep.
Also in 2019, there was a phone call made to the Sai Kung police force. It was just a man, no name was stated, said that he was lost and he was injured and he needed help. Said he was on the McLouise Trail. The phone cut out. They immediately sent a search team to the McLouise Trail. They did not find any person hurt along the trail. To this day, nobody knows who made the phone call or have found a body in correlation with the phone call.
See, and that screams sus out the wazoo to me, because that part of the world, as we all know, is heavily monitored. Heavily, heavily monitored. So the fact that they can't find a shred, at least that's what they tell us, they can't find a shred of evidence.
You'd think there would be a caller ID.
Yeah.
At the very, I which mean, there may have been.
We had caller ID way the fuck back when.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there should be some type of evidence, or at least a fucking name affiliated with the phone. Something.
Yeah.
But if there legitimately wasn't, that's bizarre.
It's weird. And they start kind of compounding here. Like I said, I cut a lot of them out, but I just put a couple in to let you know the like veracity of how they were hitting. July 2020, another unnamed male was found dead along the Sai Kung hiking trail, again with head trauma. Strange that this is the third one with head trauma found.
Or if your theory holds true, where they get dropped out of the sky.
Yeah. And this, now it takes a little bit of a different turn in December, because now the phenomena kind of changes. And if you consider the timeline and with what was going on in the world there, you can make some weird correlations. So a couple was hiking, a 49-year-old male, 45-year-old woman. There were no names put out for this specific case. They had been hiking for about an hour at around 8:30 p.m. when the husband becomes ill. He collapses on the trail. You have to think that the man felt good enough to go out hiking on this trail with his wife. He gets out there for an hour and just collapses. The wife calls the rescue team. They airlift him out. By the time they get him to the hospital, he is dead. No cause of death is ever determined. This starts where these people just start getting sick and just start dropping. Well, if you consider what was going on in the world at the time, do you remember all the videos coming out of China of people just dropping over? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, for
in
sure.
In the middle of the street, which is what this immediately reminded me of.
Yeah.
2021, early 2021, a 50-year-old woman and her friend were hiking on the Sai Kung Trail, 9:42 in the morning. The woman reported not feeling well, and then all of a sudden, she passed out. Her friend called the rescuers. She was airlifted out to a local hospital. She was dead by 11 a.m. Again, just as the last man, no cause of death ever reported, and there were no pre-existing conditions on either one of the people.
Which could go back to previous cases of people hitting their head.
Yeah. Yeah, they could.
If they're
dropping.
Passing out, yeah.
Yep.
But outside of that, these people didn't suffer head injuries. They don't know why they died.
No,
so,
no cause of death. The autopsy showed nothing.
I mean, it still doesn't take away that it could have happened to those people. They passed out and they just so happened to fall and hit their head in a way, or like you said, hit it on a rock or something to that effect.
Yep. Just a few months later, in March 18th, 2021, 59-year-old male on the McLouise Trail was found unresponsive by two other hikers who were hiking the trail. He was airlifted out and died soon after at the hospital. No cause of death was ever determined. July 3rd, 2021, 21 Boy Scouts and their instructor were out hiking the trail. A 21-year-old man all of a sudden faints, passes out. A 53-year-old, I guess there were multiple instructors, because they said you got your Boy Scout like leader and then you have co-leaders. A 53-year-old began doing CPR on the man, also fainted and passed out. The 24-year-old died before they got him to the hospital. They said he was in great health, no pre-existing conditions, and there was the cause of death was undetermined.
That almost sounds like a contagion.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But then I was like, it's July, it's hot out, they're hiking. Doing CPR is fucking hard work.
Right.
I've taken some classes and like even just doing chest compression, you're just like, holy shit. But again, as you said, it does sound like a contagion. That all of a sudden the dude vomited. I mean, it could have been some sort of heat related illness, but not all of these other ones took place in the middle of the summer.
Well, and then on top of that, outside of like pure ironic timing, what contagion acts that fast?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where like, I couldn't imagine you falling over and I'm like, shit, I got to give Steve CPR. And I start giving you CPR and that's the transmission state. And then within seconds, I'm on the ground dead now.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't make sense either.
No, it reminds me of Dyatlov Pass, or not Dyatlov, but Commander Bar, where everybody just started getting sick.
Yeah.
Pounding their head off rocks.
Yeah.
Weird shit like that. This next part is weird, and I feel like it needs to be added, but I don't have any explanation, and apparently neither does anyone else.
Well, I will, so let's go.
Kyle will. So, okay, and one of the island of Hong Kong is full of just inlets and bays and peninsulas. It's real jagged. In one of these bays, can't remember which one it was, in the Sai Kung recreational area there, pieces of a Chinese rocket washed up on shore in the fall of 2021.
Okay.
There are markings. There are numbers. Plenty of identifiable sources. So far, they cannot trace this rocket back to any known launch from the Chinese government, mainland or otherwise. And they have not found anyone that witnessed this rocket fall into the ocean along any of the beach line or any of the recreational area there. So essentially, if we got our weird hats on here, this rocket could have not came from this dimension.
Definitely possible. There are some obvious other explanations as well. Government's not going to willingly admit
they're sus
to firing the rocket.
Yes.
Especially if said rocket, I mean, this is obvious, this is a theory, and this isn't trying to take away from the paranormal aspect of the show. What if that rocket was some type of biological agent on board and it decides to be released into this park? Even if it's accidentally, we have seen how governments tend to deal with accidents and they just deny.
Yeah. Which it is noted. I did not write down the details, but there were within just a month or two of this rocket pieces washing up on shore, two more hikers died within the immediate area. Bing.
It is weird. It's definitely weird.
Just dropped.
I think the rocket is definitely a worthwhile mention because it kind of alludes to, at bare minimum, like I said, some type of biological agent being on board. I do really like the idea that it's from a different dimension, though.
It is. I get it. The government's going to be sus just to
fuck
be sus.
Especially that government.
But, dude, like, you have identifying markers, words, writing. I'm assuming, like, part numbers and shit on this thing.
Oh, guaranteed.
And they're like, hey, we found this in the ocean. They're like, well, that shit ain't ours.
If legitimately it's unfindable, that's very interesting.
So those are kind of all the cases that I've got from this specific area. But I do want to note on the history. So this specific place was home to people about 100, 120, 150 years ago called the Hakka people. They had six pretty good-sized villages on the side of the mountain where the trails are built, right? The British administration came in and just cleared those villages in the 1900s.
Define cleared.
Like, I don't know if it was by blood, like yeah. blood on your hands.
We're going to relocate you guys.
Yeah, I think it's more that. Like, you're going whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
But the Hakka people were adamant that this area was an area where the veil was non-existent. So they almost kind of, from what I read, it's like they almost kind of put themselves there as almost like overseers, I guess, to try to kind of maybe not contain, but almost like monitor what was going on.
Right.
There at the at that specific area. So could the British administration coming in and wiping them out and them turning this into a big recreational area have either angered them, whatever's on the other side of the veil, or I mean, that would mean it took like 100 years for it to get to popping off, because it didn't, the weirdness wasn't started to be reported until 2005. But the fact that they considered that area as almost like a portal, essentially.
Right.
It's strange that now all this stuff is happening.
The Hakka people sound like almost like gatekeeper, guardian, custodian style. Like
we're
here to, almost like you said, like monitor
and almost like keep it in check, you know, like,
yeah,
like make sure whatever's going on doesn't get out. Make sure the people that don't know what's going on don't get in.
And you could see an older culture like that doing that, like feeling, because I could definitely see a culture stumbling onto the area and moving into it, start witnessing bizarre occurrences, and then being self-promoted to monitor and like gatekeep this area, so to speak. Like they feel, because they found it and because they inhabit it, they feel a responsibility to now monitor, and whether it be warn or help facilitate, whatever the case may be, they feel some type of responsibility,
yeah,
over the situation in the land.
Yeah. I also found an interesting little tidbit into an article here that I just feel like I should read, because it's interesting to me. So it's thestandard.com/HK, Mystery of the Missing Hikers. I'll just quote this. It says, a few weeks ago, we mentioned a settlement as early as 30,000 years ago that was found underneath the thick brush on a hill in the remote Sai Kung Valley. Here's the feng shui angle. Places like this would easily fall into an imbalance between yin and yang. Ancient places where significant life events have happened and where cycles of decay and formation have occurred. They could result in yin energies taking charge if the cleansing process had not been properly done. This point can be explained easily. When a house is not renovated, it will suffer in wear and tear. Then the bad and yin energies would certainly prevail and take charge. So it almost seems like this specific point was used a lot, and then like it was kind of wiped clean for a while. But once the government wanted to start putting it back out there, putting it back into use, they put all these monitoring systems in to make sure, you know, they see like this place is set barren for 100 years since we cleared it out. Maybe it's hungry for whatever it was missing out on.
Yeah. It reminds me of, what was it, the Aztecs or the Mayans? Which one, which civilization disappeared overnight? Wasn't it one of the two?
Yeah, it may have been both of them. I know.
It reminds me.
Conquistadors didn't help out.
It reminds me of that. But I 100% feel the government there knows what's happening. They may not know what's causing it or to those degrees, but they know something is going a little bit amiss. And they put all those in play to monitor the area, monitor the phenomenon. I don't think they give a fuck about finding people. I think they give a fuck about trying to understand
what's going on.
What's going on in that. And there's no... And you also have to think, there's not going to be, because logically speaking here, there's not going to be too many people that fucking volunteer going into an area where symptoms can be disappearing forever, going to alternate dimensions, dying.
Getting hit with interdimensional rockets.
Yeah. Getting bonked on the head by an interdimensional rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's not, don't get me wrong, there would definitely be volunteers. 100%. There's going to be people that would want, if they knew the veil was thin and there was a possibility of crossing dimensions, there 100% will be volunteers. But to the extent of actually figuring things out, that is the bigger question. Because because the way it sounds, I feel like it's about a 95% fatality rate there.
Yeah, a lot of people, and that was another thing that was brought up, like, since this just started popping off in 2005, is there more people visiting the park? Which, during the pandemic, you would definitely have more people outside.
Yeah.
So that, it's almost like the percentage of people increases the percentage of whatever it is out there finding or affecting people, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know where I was going with that.
I feel like there's a lot of plausibilities. Because, I mean, it could be a land of an old god, you know? There's so many different possibilities. But at the end of the day, man, I'm still convinced that the government is just 100% monitoring the environment.
Yeah, and for it to have such cultural significance that people centuries ago thought, hey, there's something fucking weird about this mountain.
Right.
Shit goes on here that doesn't happen 100 miles away in Hong Kong or in Hong Kong City, whatever. Like, we're not monitoring that. We're checking on this one specific mountain.
Yeah.
So
I think it's one of them areas that, because it's not the only area of its kind.
No.
There are plenty areas across the planet that have the same type of cases, the same type of lore across the board. I think this just so happens to fall into, and there's a lot of oddities. And if you think about it and you really dig into it, which I'd like to one day, there are a lot of oddities with state parks around the world where these sections will be magically closed down.
Oh yeah.
For, you know, specific times and like not a real reason as to why they're being shut down. Then they'll have monitored high activity of military presence in the area in these shut down locations. Well, why is that a thing?
Yeah.
Is it just a military training exercise, or is there something more going on here?
And it's easy when it's registered as a natural or state park, it's easy to shut that shit down.
Yeah. And it gives them the authority to do whatever the fuck they want in there. They don't really have to give any explanation to it. Furthermore, any type of explanation is going to quiet the public, making us think about any of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could be like, hey, listen, Yeah, I know. It's a pain in the ass. This side of the park shut down today. It's just that there's been a higher presence of bears than normal. We don't know if it's a migrating pattern. You know, who knows? It's fucking, it's just strange. And all we're trying to do is keep people safe. That's all we're trying to do. You know, so we're just going to shut it down for a little bit, let the bears get out of the area, and then we're going to open it back up. Not a single person is going to go, bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, most people would be like, yeah, I'm definitely not trying to get ate by a bear.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I'm not going to go camping right now. I think I'm just going to get in the car and go home.
Yep. 100%.
And it's that easy. It's that easy.
Yeah. Which, I mean.
And if you said anything to the equivalent of what I just did, just kind of play it all, like literally buy into it. Just be like, yeah, I don't really know the ins and outs of it.
Yeah.
I just know there's a higher presence of bears in the area right now. I don't know. That's what they're telling me. I'm not trying to get eight. You're not trying to get eight. We should probably go home.
Yeah. If you refer back to the Gary Sudbrink case where the UFO crashed, they said, hey, it's like, it's pheasant hunting season. Don't go in there. And everybody's like, all right, bet.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Like, why would I go in there then?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get shot by some asshole hiding in a bush.
Yeah. But that's what I got. If we have any listeners from over there in Hong Kong, please let us know. Or if anybody has traveled and visited and have been to the Sai Kung Park, the Mac Louise Trailhead, walked on it, seen it, felt weird shit, hit us up and let us know. Again, I'm going to be posting some pictures specifically to the Patreon. I'll post the transcript to the Patreon. That way all of you get some extra goodies. It's weird, man.
Overall, probably not the coolest place to visit.
No, and it also should be noted that the police officer, Ding, probably had some sort of map system on his cell phone.
Oh, I would assume so.
Which makes you wonder if that was also fucked up.
Yeah, electrical interference in the
yeah.
Areas.
It's weird. I don't know. It's weird. You can fall down this rabbit hole if you want. A lot of the information is repeated. Again, thank you for bearing with me with Google Translate and people using Google Translate and this, that, and the other. It's, I don't know. It is what it is, but it's a weird place. And until we meet again, check us out at all our social medias: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Come and hang out with us. And until we meet, stay safe, stay weird. If you're ever in the park and you see an interdimensional rocket headed your way, be sure to just kind of juke out of the way. Because the government is not going to own up to it. Ours or the one from the other dimension.